Pete and Kayala are on a field trip.
Can't tell us about it because you have to kill us.
No, they're making tours of county courthouses around Texas.
Probably just not for the sightseeing.
No. Yeah, they're looking at the architecture of all of the old courthouses. That's Jeff's.
Jeff?
Isn't that your coffee, Jeff?
I don't think so.
And that's where you were sitting when you came in.
And it's for Elijah.
Yeah, it's the cup of Elijah. We had a pretty intense meeting yesterday morning, if anybody remembers, about what it means to be in a body of believers, how you respond. Anybody have any reaction to anything I said during the day or any experiences with it? Or?
I did, but I can't recall right
now. Mr. Rutledge wrote something very, very early in his deal here. I've read this before, but there's several things in it that really relate to what we're talking about. The hard human heart. You must have written this one first.
Back when everything was really, really clear. I was like in the flood.
The hard human heart harbors a deep yearning to give, and when the Holy Spirit pierces the stone of your heart, the accompanying pain is forgotten as the yearning is released and begins to unfold like a flowering bud, captivated with its fragrance. You release your grasp on your own emotions, letting them respond to God's touch without inhibition or without apology. You release the past, the bitterness and festering wounds of past hurts, as well as the hopeless longing to return to better times gone by, and the future with its crush of unseen worries, plans, and ambitions is loosed from your back as well. And last, in that disentanglement from time, you give God each moment, each twinkling of an eye, each now. Giving continues, and you find yourself releasing to God the very right to yourself. The careful measuring of yourself to others or some standard becomes strange to you. You are accepted by God in His Son, and you accept others as they are. You disengage the social machine that has governed your conduct in interaction with people all your life, and you leave behind all other devices that protect you or distort reality or cloud who you truly are. In every aspect of thinking, speaking, or acting, you depend on the Father and nothing else, and you do this openly. And at last you are drawn to others by this yearning, not to gain, but to give. You find the primeval inducement to gather or survival is replaced by its opposite, agape, self-giving love. And for once, you are a perfect fit. In this fellowship, He is there, pouring Himself all out through you. There is fire, emotion, conflict, death, life, and growth, and all for a purpose you vaguely see, but somehow deeply know. But you say you have not yet felt the first sharp entrance of the Spirit's sword. Standing on the edge of this exhilaration, wanting to trust, caught between the unknown and the knowledge that you cannot turn back, you will find Him. And He will strike a chord that runs through you and throughout history. It vibrates, but not from the earth or even the cosmos. Through that chord you will feel the shaking of everything created, and by it you will be tied to Him who is outside of time and space. And at last your heart's desire will be satisfied. And the one predicate that keeps that from happening is this idea of conflict avoidance, or not concerned about saying something. because the rest of it is God's business. But it does require the disengagement from your past and the disengagement from any reference points, because there are none. Anybody understand? Does this sound like something you want? Now, the only excuse for not being this is that you've got something to do, you've got something to accomplish, you've got something else to happen, you're waiting for something else. But, you know, we always want to wait for a lightning bolt. But there's this mystery that happens, is that if you give the slightest bit, then all of a sudden you find you have much more. And it's oh man. And so but the opposite is this closing in, protecting, waiting for something to gel, as I've said so often. But just be, just let it out, let it all hang out. Amen?
Amen.
What?
It's just funny to say, let it all hang out, and everybody says amen.
Yeah.
Let it all hang out.
It may sound strange, but our only really function as a believer is to love your neighbor. That can only be done by loving him with all your heart, with your soul, and your mind. But everything else flows from that. Without it, nothing flows except you're doing something, or you got some idea, or you have to have this plan of action. Gary, something's going on with you.
Oh, I was saying how what you just said, it flows from that. Like, you don't have to worry what it looks like. It just flows from that loving God. And you can't sit here and decide, oh, yeah, this is good. Now I'm going to do this or do that. It's not a... You can't establish an agenda from this.
No, but you can take the governor off.
The governor is removed as you love him, is what I was saying.
But again, then there's something else to happen. There's nothing else to happen. It's now, 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 now. You don't have to see anything else. You don't have to understand anything else. There's nothing else to wait for. There's nothing else to keep it from taking place. And again, I am picking on you. But again, it seems that in your language you excuse time again. And it just makes me crazy when I hear that. Redeem the time. There's nothing to keep you from being, instead of this incessant trying to be, trying to protect. I remember when, I've been talking about this since I began teaching. This is the main thing, to be instead of trying to be. And I remember an infinite number of times, it's seemingly infinite, it's Well, when I do that, I get in trouble. Or when I do that, you yell at me. Or when I do that, there is no basis in time and space for justifying doing it. But there is every basis in eternity for doing it. It's this whole idea. Remember when we studied what the word yesh means, which is Yeshua's first name, yesh? It's the breaking of the dam. He that believeth on Christ, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not out of his mind, but it's yeshing. Rather than, yeah, I'm sitting back and I'm judging this and I'm thinking about that and this is going to, this, and if I do that, then blah, 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 blah. And I'm waiting for something else to happen and then I'll do it. No. No. I know there's all kinds of stuff going on in each one of you. Why am I doing all the talking?
Well, it's, I don't know. I feel thick with isolation and everything you're saying. I feel it, but also in this format, I mean, we don't come here expecting to have some drinks and get all loosed up and blab. You know, we sort of expect to either listen or speak.
Well, that's a good point. What is it that you expect from this? Harry says, or said many times in the past, that to him it's the most important part of the day. What does that mean? Why? What are we doing?
You're not. Well, it's a touchstone for, you know, agreement about real stuff. But, you know, like what Wade's saying is like, it's not set up to, we're not open-ended because we all got to leave. Like, it, you know, at night, it's a different setup and if something gets going, you know, there's a format there for carrying it on. But, you know, in reality, none of that should matter anyway. You know, what's more important?
Yeah, I just made a really wild statement. It's surprised me that our only job is to love our neighbor.
There you go. That's the thing I've heard since I sat down. That's the thing that rang my bell. That is all that matters. Nothing else. It's all. There may be things that need to be done, but they're secondary, tertiary, whatever.
But does anybody have any response to that? Do you think that's right?
Well, yeah. How eternity gets targeted into your life is through loving your neighbor.
You could say.
But how long then? Well, let's go to Revelation 14. I'm going to show you something. Verse 12. Here is the patience. But in here, this word that's translated here is patience. It means much more than our English word for patience. Are you here, Gary?
Oh, I was actually thinking about time. Jesus came into time and space, and then died, crucified, and rose again. But he's come back into time and space in us, and is, I mean, that's the basis of the basic gospel. He's living his life out through these vessels. But he's doing it in time. He's doing it as whatever his purpose is. And you...
We're back in time again.
Well, I don't care that I'm in time. You know, it's your problem, not mine. It's like, I don't have a problem with who I am. And what I think, what I do. It's, I'm not convicted by it. I really don't get your...
You don't understand why I get so upset about time.
It's not that, you know, I understand eternity. I understand being here now. I understand all that. I understand giving in the moment. I mean, all that doesn't pass by me.
Do you really? But I want you to analyze, and I want us to analyze. I'm glad you pointed this out. You believe that Jesus is in time. No.
Yeah.
Then you've denied the scriptures. He's at the right hand of the Father.
Well, that's true too.
And that's where you and I are. We're on the mercy seat, seated with him in the heavenlies. So our life, our mind must be renewed so that we see that we are in that place. But the mind can't be renewed if you give any breath to the passage of time. Because then you can excuse rebellion.
Well, what is happening with the bride? Where is that?
The bride, the only thing that's taking place with the bride is in the New Jerusalem.
Is not that...
The things that are going on with regard to the time, again, remember, you got to, maybe I've never explained this. I thought I had a million times, but listen. Do you understand and do you agree with me that John saw, and I believe it was on the Feast of Pentecost, the first one, he saw the New Jerusalem descending as a bride prepared for her husband. And there's nowhere in the scriptures where the New Jerusalem ever went back up again. So that means that our only reality as a believer is that place, the New Jerusalem. And that the only thing that we give any importance to or breath to are the things that take place in that place. And that place is our overriding reality. And all of time is passing through that New Jerusalem, that temple. It's passing from west to east. And the only thing that's of value is that which takes place in the temple, in the New Jerusalem, on the mercy seat, now. Everything else is done. Jesus is only, his feet are never going to touch the earth again. We are in him on the mercy seat. Capisce a little bit?
Well,
this isn't a philosophy. This is what, to me, every word in the scripture declares.
What is taking place in time?
The only thing that's taking place is the antagonism, the afterbirth.
Is that unimportant?
Yeah, but it isn't him. It's what's taking place so that our mind can be renewed, so that we can always see that we are always on that mercy seat. Be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind. That's what our exodus that we celebrate, that Passover, is not our exodus from the world system. Now we celebrate our exodus from time. That's what the Passover celebration that we're about to do, it's to celebrate, not that it's going to happen or it's going to happen then, but that it's our celebration that it's already happened. That's why we eat the Passover, not as those in the world do, with staff in hand. We are there. So we eat it at rest, celebrating that place, and that we never leave that place. And everything that's going on that's time dependent isn't even worthy of our giving a one iota of importance to. That's what it means. Be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Now, I don't understand why he needs our minds renewed. I do, but I'm not able to explain it.
For me, that place is, it's renewed to be pulled out of time into the reality.
That has already happened here, Gary.
But then why do we even meet? What's the point?
To cause the places and those that are still double-minded to stop opposing themselves.
Because they're in time.
To patiently, or hopefully, and sometimes not too patiently, teach those that oppose themselves to dwell in that inheritance. You have, again, if you're still in time and you think you have an inheritance, and every once in a while you can consciously go and possess it for a minute. But when the first fruits, remember, we have the inheritance, we possess it, and more importantly, we dwell in it 24 hours a day. We never leave it. That's the finished work of Christ. There's nothing left to take place. There hasn't been since the day of the cross.
That's true.
But this is why I get so upset with you. When you're the idea that you excuse, by the use of words, you excuse the what's taking place in time. And that makes you mad. And then you think, well, and in your mind, well, that's just Ole's philosophy. I've got my own. If you think what I'm doing is Ole's philosophy, then I'm going to stop. I have no interest in Ole's philosophy. I hate this philosophy from my personal standpoint. He is despised of all men. Again, if we don't see this, then our religion just becomes a philosophy. There is no private interpretation of Scripture. And I think I can prove in 100 ways that what I'm saying is true by the Scriptures. Let's look at one of them, Revelation 14. But you see why this interchange is what I long for. And that's why I'm picking you, because hopefully then you're going to come back at me. But if all this is just going on in one's mind, and you're just thinking about it, well, it's worthless. It's like spiritual masturbation.
Well, you said something about we dwell there 24 hours a day. I guess I'd have to admit I don't.
I know. That's what I'm trying to get you to stay there.
Well, I think the part of me that's eternal does.
No. And that's now you're separating again.
Well, I've got to answer to the reality I see.
But it's that makes you a Pharisee.
What is repentance all about? Why is there even such a word?
If there's a word to repent, if you leave that place, that's what repentance means.
Absolutely.
I have left. the mercy seat. So I have to, at all costs, get back on the mercy seat. You can't excuse leaving it, though.
I don't excuse leaving it.
You just got through telling me you did.
I'm not excusing it. I'm telling you what it is. If I go away, and there wouldn't even need to be a word repentance if people didn't leave that mercy seat.
But we can't justify leaving it.
I'm not justifying it. I'm talking about what reality is.
But you're saying that reality is the reality. I'm saying you that reality is massive rebellion.
Well, then that's rebellion. It doesn't matter what it is, what you call it. If you didn't leave the mercy seat, there'd be no reason to repent. Just strike the word.
Oh, that's bullshit. Gary, you stay in the mercy seat by constant repentance of your mind. There's never a place you leave repentance. Repentance isn't an act that you do every once in a while. It's a state of being. Let's look at... Gary, I've never left this, what I've taught today. I've said it consistently since the day we met.
I'm not saying you're changing the words. I'm just saying the way I see things, I don't know. To me, you wouldn't need to repent if you weren't out of place, out of...
That's the wrong meaning of repentance. That's the English language meaning of repentance. I've done something wrong. That's why the way gets so narrow until it's smaller than a dot that you can see, because the way is the repentance happens any time. By definition, if I leave the mercy seat by giving importance to anything that's going on in time and space, giving breath to it, then I pray that I don't do that. But the only way I don't do that is by knowing that all my ideas and all my thoughts and all my opinions have no meaning. I don't owe them anything. And then, again, if you haven't said this, well, then how do I make a living? Well, my position is you make a living by meeting need. But if you forget that you're meeting need, then you've left the mercy seat. You make a living by loving your neighbor. But if you ever try to use your neighbor, then you've left the mercy seat. I'm on the mercy seat, but if I ever change the way I am in any because of some different group, I'm a respecter of persons, so I've left the mercy seat. If there's anything I haven't forgiven, then I've left the mercy seat. And so the Holy Spirit's constant. He's constant, 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 showing us where we've left the mercy seat. But I'm only going by your words.
But I don't disagree with anything you just said. That's all. I see that. But somehow, when I say whatever I say, that the fact that you leave the mercy seat, then you repent, like something's wrong.
It makes me crazy.
But what do you do when you leave the mercy seat?
That's not the way you said it, Gary. You said it to indicate that the normal for you was leaving the mercy seat.
If I say it that way, it's just because I'm so opposed to you in this conversation. It's not normal. It's just that when it happens. I mean, you just have a litany about five different things on how it happens. So I don't see how you can deny that it happens or say it shouldn't happen. To me, it's all part of how the gospel is clarified.
Okay, let me clarify. Let me see if I can clarify it further. To me, the definition of sin is leaving the mercy seat. Because you leave the mercy seat because you got back in the picture. Okay, and in Paul's statement to that is, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. It was and the way it's translated in English is nowhere near the strength of it. God forbid. And that's all I'm saying. But you think
I'm saying that we should continue.
I think you're saying, and you give the impression when we talk about this, that it's expected that you will be off the mercy seat.
Well, if there's anybody in here that doesn't get off the mercy seat, I'll be surprised. And if that's not the case,
But Garrett, you're arguing it from the wrong direction.
But you're pushing it to that point. So
good.
Said. So I'm. If the only thing I'm saying is that to me, that's how it is. People do get off the mercy seat. Here, I believe that. But everything we talk about, everything's taught, is that we would see it. And that's.
But Gary, let's. The only difference, the massive difference to me in what you've said versus what I've said, is my position is that the only way that we are on the mercy seat is constant repentance. It's as natural as breathing. In fact, it is breathing. It is breathing in the Holy Spirit, breathing out you. It's as natural as going to the bathroom. It's consuming food, but that which isn't of him goes out the draught. It's drinking his blood because to make it your blood, but that which is still, it's going out though. And so it's the normal Christian life should be that. And everything we see, whether it's the trees and the leaves falling and bird, everything keeps us in that position. And the very nature of our how we live keeps us there if we have any understanding. So that the difference between what I'm saying and what you're saying, and to me the repentance is the only way I'm on the mercy seat. But it, and if I ever leave repentance, then I'm automatically off the mercy seat. And the way you've said it anyway, was that we're off the mercy seat and then we repent. I'm saying the only way you're on the mercy seat is by repentance. And it's constant. It never stops. And that's why every idea is brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought about what's going to happen next is destroyed. And revenge with severe revengeance.
I thought of a relationship example. Like, what if your wife said, I don't know if I'll be home tonight. And you go, well, where will you be? And she's like, I don't know. But if I don't come home tonight, I'll probably come home tomorrow night. I'll get back on track.
That's a good way of explaining it. I think, I think I'll just go commit adultery, and then when I'm done with it, I'll repent. And I think that's why it's not, I don't decide to get upset. But it just, it makes me crazy. And let's read the verse that we're going to in Revelation 14. Revelation 14, verse 12. And we started on this one word. We got to the third, fourth word. Here is the patience. And I said the word patience herein, it's a different meaning than we think of as patience. It's the persistence. It's the standard. It's the continuum. Here is the continuum of the saints. You understand that? Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the continuum of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Never, ever, ever again will I expend any effort to what I'm going to do next. Will I give it one breath of thought? Because there is nothing needed on the mercy seat. You're at the point, you're at the first source of all things. The only way, I mean, I know you, Gary. I know you as well as I know myself. I know that what you're doing is the thing that's going on back down here somewhere is if I did this, I couldn't make a living.
I don't believe that.
You don't think that?
No, I don't think that at all. Because I've been through that, obviously. It was a big struggle, but when I leave here, I don't. It's not that.
Okay.
It's not that. And all I do all day is just meet the need that's there. I mean, I got 40 people out there that I'm taking care of, so to speak.
That's wonderful.
That's what drives me.
All I'm asking you to do is to consider the meaning of repentance. Repentance is what keeps you there. It isn't what you do when you go off of it.
Right, and experientially, that's how I live, is everything out there is saying the same thing. I mean, I can and sometimes do get pulled into things, but I don't know I'm there until I wake up, and then it just clarifies everything we talk about. So I really don't see where there's a difference in what we say other than how it's...
Well, the difference was is that you said Jesus is in time and space.
Well, in our bodies, in our being...
Yeah, right, and that's why our mind must be renewed so that we see that wherever we walk, wherever we are, whatever is going on, we are still in Him in the mercy seat. We are not on the earth anymore. That's why we are in the earth, but not of the earth.
Right.
It's because we are of the mercy seat, of Him. He is seated on the mercy seat. And that's the only place that He is. The Holy Spirit's in the world, convicting it of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because all of a sudden there's something happened that He left the mercy seat. Because by not relying on, not totally 100,000% relying on Him, of sin, of righteousness, because He's at the Father, and of judgment, because the prince of the world has already been judged. So that takes care of everything. So that's the Holy Spirit. He's not doing His anointing tricks so that you can have little meetings and feel goods. He is convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Boom. And that's why, again, it's all who dwell on the earth will be deceived. That's why we don't dwell on the earth. So that's why time is not an issue for us. cause and effect is not an issue for us. Reward and punishment is not an issue. Does anybody, did this help anybody?
Yeah, I think that the thing we need to meditate about is saying that you have no confidence in the flesh is not the same as assuming that you're going to go out and do X, Y, Z, because one of them is agreeing with God in faith. The other one is, you know, no faith. It's like, and that's the thing that's, you know, it's like, it seems like you could do that, but, you know, that's what Paul said. He said, you know,
God forbid.
Stepping outside of your, you know, where you're not supposed to contemplate those things. You're in the now. So, so whenever you do that, that's what sets off Oli and confuses other people. Not just Oli.
Sorry, folks.
So.
No, it's valuable. This is probably more valuable Bible study than we've had in a long time. And again, this is what I wished everybody would do that. But even I had to call you out on it because I saw you left the room. And I don't want to call you out. I want you to. The fruit of 35 years of labor.
You worked hard.
Anyway, anybody else? Do you think Joy Santa? Don't tell Joy Santa.
This must be important because we're spending so much time.
Take it, big guy.
Well said.